I've had it for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, because I knew I was going to need a sermon. I knew my time in the barrel was coming up. I knew, however you want to look at it. And I was talking to God, coming up with a sermon, and everything was happy. And I said, God, what do I need to talk about? And he said, you need to talk about my love, because this is the season of his love. And next, I mean, when we're doing the Advent candle, the next candle to be lit is love. And we've talked about hope, peace, joy. We need love. And then this week hit. And he said, you have to talk about love. It wasn't, you get to talk about love. You have to talk about love. But you need to frame it in the ideals and the concepts of what's going on. You know, when we think of love, we think about, I don't know, Hallmark. We think about a card. This is the season of Christ's birth. This is the season when hope, peace, joy, and love came to earth and walked on earth and showed us what it was. But also during this season, you have all those questions that come up. If God is a loving God, why does this happen? If love is the deciding factor of God, why do we go through what we go through? How many of y'all know John 3:16 by heart? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life and never perish. Which version do you speak when you do John 3:16? NIV, King James, I mean, we know John 3:16. And we also know John 3:17. For Christ came into the world, not to condemn the world, but to bring life more abundantly. What does that mean? How does that apply to my heart? We, at this time, seem to have, I don't know, more funerals, more deaths, more grief. I don't know. I mean, as a church, we lost members recently. As a family, I've lost members recently. How does that equate out to God's love? How does the fact that Christ came and died, or came, see, and that's another thing. We want to say Christ came and died, but in reality, Christ came and lived. Christ came as a baby. He gave up Godhood, and he walked this earth for 33 years. Man, to me, that sometimes is worse than what he did. Now, I do know the thing that he did that he would never do, and he did that for me. But just coming as a baby, do y'all understand that he was God? Do y'all understand that his thought was whatever? What held the universe together? Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In the beginning, God spoke the Word, and creation happened. What Word did God speak? Jesus. Yeah. So here we are, we're looking at it. He is God. He is the thing holding the whole thing together. You know, if you do a subatomic particle study, you come up to a term called a gluon that holds atoms together. Y'all knew that? You get down to subatomics, and there you get to the gluon, and that's what holds all the little things together. What shape is a gluon? A cross. It's true. I mean, this is Christ. He holds the universe together. All that power. All that. And a bag of chips. And he gave it up. He became a baby. What's one thing about a baby that everybody knows? They're helpless. They can't control when they get fed. They can't control when their own bowels move. They can't control the cleanup of their bowel movement. By the way, that would be a holy bowel movement, wouldn't it? It's just one of those things that comes to my mind when it shouldn't. But as a baby, what did he control? Did he control where he lived? Did he control what happened around him? He didn't. He gave up being able to control everything to not controlling anything. How many of y'all know the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the power to change the things I can, and to know the things I can't. Yep. The Serenity Prayer. That's an interesting thing. And the courage to do that. To change the things I can. Didn't that Christ? Didn't he get to that point? Man, the courage to change the things I can. To accept that which I have to accept. Sometimes I sit here and I wish I was witty. I wish I had words. I wish I was a wordsmith. Because I don't have the words to say. I don't have the witty, the wit, the charm to say some of the things that goes on there. I sometimes feel my inadequacies on how do you describe the fact that Christ came as a child. I can just scratch the scratch. I can't get any. How can I describe the fact that he went for 33 years as a human? Doing what I do, living as I live, breathing the air that I breathe. Statistically speaking, y'all do know that every now and then you take a breath and that breath was in Jesus' lungs. That's the statistics. Air was neither created nor destroyed. Y'all know that. Matter, neither created nor destroyed. Air that was breathed forever has been breathed by somebody else. So statistically speaking, every now and then you're going to take a breath, and that breath's going to have air in it that was in Jesus' lungs. Also have Attila the Huns. Also have Julius Caesar. Also have all these others. But it's also got Jesus Christ's breath. So every now and then you're going to take a breath and it's going to have Jesus. Because he was here and he breathed. He was a man. He went through the same things I went through. I have no excuse. I can't tell him. Well, you just don't know what it's like. When I have something happen in my life, I can't look at Jesus and go, dude, you never was there. You never felt that. You never had that. He did. When I feel out of control and I can't control anything, and I have to accept that the only thing I can control is me, and I can't even do a good job there. Right? Sometimes I can't even do that. Who could Jesus control? And all that's wrapped up in one word. And that kills me, because it's wrapped up in one word. Love. He did all of that for love. And if I was the only one he did that for, his love was so great for me that he did it for me. It's personal. It's a relationship. That's what this is about. It's personal. His love is so great that he personally did it for you, for me, for one person, for all of us. When I look at what goes on, recently, I know of we've lost people. We've had funerals. We've had people we've loved that's gone away. One of the things I can say, though, is yesterday I was at a funeral for one of my cousins who's 3 years older than me. And I grew up with him. I mean, this was back when Louisville was related. I mean, y'all laugh, but at one point in time, everybody here at the town, I knew them because during a family reunion, we all met out at the lake. And when you go to class, you know, they sit you in class and they're going, you know, who's your parents? Because when you meet somebody in class, they go, who's your parents? Oh, they're there. Oh, who's your grandparents? We're cousins. And I could say it this way, y'all don't catch it, but it's Hastings, Frady's, who else is in there? Bryant's, Porter's, and I could give you a list of people from Louisville. Oh, Millikens. I could give you a list of people from Louisville, and they're all interbred. We're all inbred hicks. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And I can say some things, but we had a funeral for my cousin yesterday. And if you want to say everybody was crying, that's not the truth. You know, have you ever heard that we had a funeral and there wasn't a dry eye in the place? Well, we had a funeral yesterday and there wasn't a person that wasn't happy. And it's not that we were happy that Ronnie had died, and that just goes to show you, if you're a bunch of inbred hicks, you use the same names for everybody. Because my cousin's name was Ronnie. But we weren't weeping. We were in joy. We were happy. Ronnie finally had a victory. One of the things about Ronnie I can tell you is, for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, I kept inviting him to church. And he wanted to come. I mean, he really did. And he lived around the corner, and I could go pick him up and bring him to church. But he had a habit. He just didn't want to get up and go to church. And that habit was stronger than his desire. And we had talked about, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, this is more along the lines of, I got a habit, man. My habit is I sleep during Sunday. My habit is I do this instead of go to church. My habit is this. These are my habits. And sometimes when we're in that habit is so strong, we just can't break it. Well, Tuesday, Ronnie broke his habit. And now he's got a victory. Well, now he's with the Lord. Now he's with the Lord. He's got that victory that he never could do. We have other people that, you know, when they die, we're like, you know, it seems kind of backwards. When they die, we're so ecstatic that they finally get to go to the Lord that we can get jealous of them getting to go and we not. We can look at it that, why not me, Lord? But, I know. I don't know about that. My wife might not be happy with it, but you know. They jump cue on me, yeah. And we can have a hope and a peace and a joy about that. because we know God loves us. And because of that love, we know they're going to a better place. But we also have those times when something happens and we just can't see it. And we don't have that joy or we don't have that peace. Because I can speak of cousins. Died, and I have a joy, and I have a peace. He's got a victory. I had a cousin named David. He died. I hurt for 3 months. I couldn't see why. I couldn't see God's love in that. But it was still there. That's the thing. His love for Ronnie was so great, he took him home to give him victory. His love for David was so strong, he took him home and gave him a victory I don't know about. We look around the world and we see what's going on and we go, why are you doing this to us, Lord? We don't know. You look at the current political system and you go, what's going on, God? They're a bunch of idiots. Where's your love in it? I don't know. Maybe his love in it is at the time we get to go home, we get to look back and say, I'm so glad I'm out of that mess. I don't have to deal with it no more. I don't know. All I know is Jesus came. He walked this earth. He showed his love. His love was so strong and so deep, he came as a human. And for 33 years, he gave up being God. How many of those days, how many of those hours, however many minutes there was that he was here, do you not think the angels were saying, hey, your time's done, let's do this. Your time's done, let's do this. Let's go back and make heaven right. Let's go back and be at the right hand of God. He still said, no, my time's not done. My time's not ready. His mother even did it to him. Can you imagine that? At the wedding at Canaan, she said, let's do this. And he's like, woman, it's not my time yet. But he went ahead and did it, didn't he? Why? Love. We got 3 lit candles. Hope, peace, joy. How many of y'all, your only hope is based on Christ? Yeah. How many of y'all, your only peace is the peace that comes from Christ that passes all understanding? How many of y'all, your only joy comes from the Lord? Okay, if you didn't get to raise your hand now, we can start a queue over here. Me and Buck and Rafi are available. Because guess what? You need that. You need that peace that passes understanding. You need that joy. And I want y'all to understand something. Joy and happiness are not the same thing. And I will pick joy over happiness every time. I was happy with the other sermon. Y'all understand that? The other sermon I was wanting to give over love and how God loves the world, I was happy with that. Jesus loves me, this I know, because he came and died for me. This I was happy with. There's even a video I wanted to do for the other one. How many of y'all know who Newsboys are? It's a group, boys. They got a video called, is it The Cross Says It All? I think that's the name of it. The cross has the final word. I had a video I wanted to do. Cross has the final word. I was happy with that. God says, yeah, but my joy will be in you doing what I tell you to do, so here's what you're going to do. Oh, and by the way, If my joy is in it, where's your joy? In it too. Don't care if you're happy or not. I care if you're joyful. So be up there and make a joyful noise. Things happen to you, by the way. I don't know why. Things that come in and you look at it and on the whole, you shouldn't be able to have peace about it. You shouldn't be able to have joy. You shouldn't be able to have hope. I lost my mother. Wasn't happy. Really, at that time, I was kind of, like I said, some things hit you and it takes you a little while to work it out. David, it took me a while to work it out. There's been other things in my life that's it. And I'm working it out. I will get it worked out. And it's a question, how do you find love in that? When you lose a loved one, how do you find that love? When you lose someone close to you, how do you find that love? You know, the world wants you to say, like Lot's wife, curse God and die. Oh, no, that's not Lot. That's Job's wife, right? Job's wife told Job, curse God and die. And the world tells you to do that. The world tells you, you need to look at God and say, God, why are you doing this to me? You need to scream and rail. All God says is, I love you. I want to hold you tight. I want to give you that which you need desperately. Peace, joy, comfort. Like I said, I've been to a funeral yesterday. Matter of fact, I got to speak words at Ronnie's funeral yesterday. And we told the jokes. We told the stories. And a lot about what was happening yesterday was a celebration of a life. And one of the things I'd been asked earlier, do I always do an invitation when I give a sermon at a funeral? And the answer is not always. I do what the Lord tells me to. And I didn't know if I was going to do an invitation yesterday until, guess what? I gave an invitation. But it was because the Lord said it's time to do that. So speaking of invitations, the question I got to you right now is love, hope, peace, joy. Do you have those? Right now it's Christmas. Y'all know that? Do y'all also know that during Christmas, that's one of the times when depression hits hardest? Yeah, that's a psychological fact. It's in, you know, one of the crazy things is being a teacher. I'm able to teach psychology, so I keep up with what's going on. And one of the things they talk about holidays is it's one of the most depressing times in the year. That as people look around and see other people having joy and they've got nothing, it hits them hard. This is the end of the year too, so that's a double whammy. Because we're ending up at the end of the year. How many people don't believe in God? How many people don't believe in Jesus? How many people don't believe in anything? Narcissism and, I don't even want to go into the bad ones. But I do want to say this. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? It's an easy one. Not are you a religious person? Do you go to church? Are you a Baptist? Because, you know, being a Baptist will save you. No, it won't. Do you have a religious experience? That's not the question, is it? The question is, do you have a relationship with Jesus? And by the way, I do mean a good relationship too. I don't mean one in which you pass each other on the street and say, "Hey, how you doing?" I mean one in which you would invite him in for dinner. I vaguely recognize you. Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about is, do you have that center relationship with Christ? That when he brought down peace, hope, and joy, do you have that? I've told you before that when I'm at school and the whole world's falling apart, I've had other teachers come up and go, "Wow, you're pretty calm. How come?" Because it don't matter what happens. I know where my Lord and Savior is. I know where I'm headed. I don't know if any of y'all know what, I was going to say ARD meetings are. I don't know if y'all know what ARD meetings are. I just got slammed next week. We got new students come in. I've got students that do things that they're not supposed to do. I got students really doing things they're not supposed to do. So I went from, what was it, 2 ARDs next week to 10. So yeah, I'm going to be a busy person next week. Yeah, I know. It doesn't matter. It just means that you have about 2 or 3 hours of prep for one of those. They last about 45 minutes. It's what I do for what I'm at school for now. My ARD is admission, review, and dismissal. That's what it stands for. It's how kids are in special ed. We go over the factors of what they did, what puts them in, what keeps them in, what stupid thing they did that they weren't supposed to do, and was that affected by our performance with them. It just, you know, when I looked at that, I thought, man, that's a lot of work. Matter of fact, tonight I got a lot of work to do for stuff tomorrow. But that's all it is, stuff to do tomorrow. So I'm going to finish with one of the things I told people is when they come up, they read a couple of passages, and they tell, what does it mean to you? We got the fourth candle, the candle of love. There's a lot of passages I could read about God's love. That he loved us when we were yet sinners. That Christ's love was so great that he came and he accepted my sin, which meant he was going to be cast out from the Father. Father was going to turn his back on him. My God, why have you abandoned me? That's love. What does his love mean to me? His love is so great that when I rail against him, he still loves me. His love is so great that when I say, why me, instead of why not me, he accepts me. My love is so great, or his love is so great, that when mine isn't, he overflows me. When I look at people and see them the way I see them, he closes my eyes and lets me see them through his sight. His love is so great that when personal tragedy comes upon, it's not your footsteps in the sand you see, it's his. His love is so great that the cross is the final word. And his love is so great that he gave everything up to be a little baby. But when I act like a little baby and get whiny, He can say, I was there. That's how great His love is. And that's what it means to me. Well, maybe it's a good thing we didn't have real lit candles. Well, just now, did you see what I did? Yeah, I went to turn the candle on and stuck my arm in the other candle. That would have been fun. As the band comes up to play, and as the pastors come up, do you have that relationship? Do you have those? If you don't have peace, joy, hope, love, we're here. We'll pray for you. Buck said it earlier. We're here to pray for you. We are here. Now, here's the important one. If you're here on a day like today, that's probably because you do have peace, joy, love, hope. But there are people in your lives that don't. We'll pray for those. Just let us know.